just like everyone else. Even the Horde, bloody-minded individualists to a man, fell for it. But Mr. Savaloy had also seen the aimlessness in their lives, and one night he'd brought the conversation round to the opportunities offered in the Orient. There was a light in Six Beneficent Winds' expression.
"Have you got an accountant?" he said.
"Well, no, as a matter of fact."
"Will this theft be treated as income or capital?"
"I haven't really thought of it like that. The Horde doesn't pay taxes."
"What? Not to anyone?"
"No, it's funny, but they never seem to keep their money for long. It seems to disappear on drink and women and high living. I suppose from a heroing point of view, they may count as taxes." There was a pop as Six Beneficent Winds uncorked a small bottle of ink and licked his writing brush.
"But those sort of things probably count as allowable expenses for the barbarian hero," he said. "They are part of the job specification. And then, of course, there is wear and tear on weaponry, protective clothing. They could certainly claim for at least one new loincloth a year."
"I don't think they've claimed for one per century." "And there's pensions, of course." "Ah, don't use that word. They think it's a dirty word. But in a way, that is what they're here for. This is their last adventure."
"When they've stolen this very valuable thing that you won't tell me about."
"That's right. You'd be very welcome to join us. You could, perhaps, be a barbarian, to push beans. A length of knotted string. Accountant. Have you ever killed anyone?"
"Not outright, but I've always thought you could do considerable damage with a well-placed final demand."
Mr. Savaloy beamed. "Ah, yes," he said. "Civilization." The last ninja was upright, but only just. Hamish had run his wheelchair over his foot. Mr. Savaloy patted the taxman's arm.
"Excuse me," he said. "I find I often have to intervene at this stage."
He padded over to the surviving man, who was looking around wildly. Six swords had become interlaced around his neck as though he'd taken part in a rather energetic folk dance.
"Good morning," said Mr. Savaloy. "I should just point out that Genghis here is, despite appearances, a remarkably honest man. He finds it hard to understand empty bravura. May I venture to suggest, therefore, that you refrain from phrases like, 'I would rather die than betray my emperor,' or 'go ahead and do your worst,' unless you really, really mean them. Should you wish for mercy, a simple hand signal will suffice. I strongly advise you not to attempt to nod."
The young man looked sideways at Cohen, who gave him an encouraging smile. Then he waved a hand quickly. The swords unwove. Truckle hit the ninja overhead with a club.
"It's all right. You don't have to go on about it. I didn't kill him," he said sulkily.
"Ow!"
Boy Willie had been experimenting with a rice flail and had hit his own ear.
"How'd they manage to fight with this rubbish?"
"What?"
"These little hog's watch decoration thingies look the business, though," said Vincent, picking up a throwing star. "Ugh!" He sucked his fingers. "Useless foreign junk."
"That bit where that lad sprang backwards right across the room with them axes in his hands was impressive, though."
"Yeah.
You didn't ought to have stuck your sword out like that, I thought."
"He's learned an important lesson."
"It won't do him much good now where he's gone." "What?"
Six Beneficent Winds was half laughing, half shocked.
But I've seen these guards fight before," he said. "They're invincible."
"No one told us."
"But you beat them all."
"Yep."
"And you're just eunuchs."
There was a scrape of steel. Six Beneficent Winds closed his eyes. He could feel metal touching his neck in at least five places.
"Ow, there's that word again," said the voice of Cohen the Barbarian.
"But you're dressed as eunuchs,"
murmured Six Beneficent Winds, trying not to swallow. Mr. Savaloy backed away, chuckling nervously. You say